It's truly great to be in God's house
in the morning, Sunday mornings. You ever wonder why God created a 7-day cycle and not an 8-day or a 10-day cycle? Well, I don't know exactly why he did it, but specialists tell us that even in the work world, those that don't stop for Sundays, they lose productivity. They have found that actually the best cycle there is that 7-day cycle. 6 days of work and 1 day off. Interesting, isn't it? I guess that is how God created us, isn't it? Work. Did you leave work at home today? Did you bring some of it with you? Well, if you did, we have a spot at the back where you can leave your briefcase, and if it's a mental one, there's a slot. You can slip it in there. It's sometimes hard to leave work at home. It's sometimes hard to leave work at work where it should be, right? Especially with our technology these days. Christians in the workplace, why is it that God has designed us in such a way, not only this whole cycle, but the truth that our faith impacts every area of our lives, including our workplace. Including our workplace. God wants for us to have an impact in the workplace. I want us to read this passage of Scripture out of Ephesians, but I'm actually want to read it out of the New Century Version. You can find it in your Bible, and there's some neat language here. He starts out by slaves, and that probably raises some questions right away. Some of you might feel like slaves at work, I'm not sure, and maybe some of the business owners and supervisors may feel that they should be slave drivers, but we'll see yet how this connects. Slaves, obey your masters here on earth with fear and respect and from a sincere heart, just as you obey Christ. You must do this not only while they are watching you to please them. With all your heart, you must do what God wants as people who are obeying Christ. Do your work with enthusiasm. Work as if you were serving the Lord, not as if you were serving only men and women. Remember that the Lord will give a reward to everyone, slave or free, for doing good. Masters, in the same way, be good to your slaves. Do not threaten them. Remember that the one who is your master and theirs is in heaven, and he treats everyone alike. A few Sundays back, we were in chapter 5, verse 21, and that we should be in submission to each other. And then he starts with the marriage, husbands and wives, and then children, the family at home. And now we're in the workplace. As we've come through the book of Ephesians, we've seen that the importance of walking as believers affects every area of our lives. We like that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Me and God, me and Jesus. There used to be a song as a teen, when I was a teen, that said, "Me and Jesus have our own thing going." And you know, sometimes that would be the easiest way to live. Me and Jesus have our own thing going. Because Jesus and I'm usually the one with a difficulty and the problem, and I'm usually the one that needs to confess and needs to grow. But you know, when it gets to relationships with others, today we're going to be celebrating communion. And communion is about our relationship with God, but it's also about our relationship with each other. And somehow Paul took us, and in chapter 4, he began to really speak to us about life lived in community. And that's where we came to the marriage and the home, the family. But it also affects our workplace. And so actually we need to go back to verse 21 And then we need to back up here. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That verse impacted the slaves within the church. It is estimated that back in the day of Paul in the book of city of Ephesus, where this church was, that about a third, about 33% of the population of Ephesus were slaves. And so they were a real part of every family. And so as Paul is dealing with family relationships, it's just normal that he would include this as well. In both the Greek and the Roman cultures, slaves had very limited rights. They were subject to exploitation, to abuse. And that's why here, and we actually find it in the Old Testament, New Testament, we find that the scriptures include regulations for situations such as this, slavery, divorce, and many others, which were the results of sin or the hardness of hearts. These regulations, they don't encourage, they don't condone these situations. They were given to us by God as guidelines for practical ways to deal with the realities of the culture around us. And so here we have this passage providing us with some instructions on how believing masters and believing slaves should regard their relationship to each other. Each other, because they are both in the Lord. And their faith as slaves and as slave owners needed to be lived out in their culture, in their time. In Paul's day, women, children, slaves had very few rights. But what was incredible for the watching world is that it was different in the church. It was different in the church. In the church, they had freedoms that society denied them. And so we have the church having a great impact on slavery, on education, on health, on the rights of women, the rights of children. Today, we're not actually dealing with slavery, but I believe there are principles here that can help us to see the employee-employer relationship. In order for us to try to understand, I want to, some of the impact that this may have in the workplace, I want to read a story or a short story that Philip Yancey writes. In 2004, he had the privilege of visiting South Africa, the country that had been so changed by the truth and reconciliation efforts that Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu were involved with. And so this is a number of years later, but he writes about what happened to him on that trip. And I'm just going to read that. This is Philip Yancey. He says, on a trip to South Africa in 2004, I met a remarkable woman named Joanna. She is of mixed race, part black, part white, a category known there as colored. After helping in the struggle against apartheid, Joanna decided to tackle the most violent prison in South Africa, a prison where Nelson Mandela had spent 8 years. Tattoo-covered gang members controlled the prison, strictly enforcing a rule that required new members to earn their admittance to the gang by assaulting undesirable prisoners. Prison authorities looked the other way, letting these animals beat and even kill each other. Alone, this attractive young woman started going each day into the bowels of that prison. She brought a simple message of forgiveness and reconciliation, trying to put into practice on a smaller scale what Nelson Mandela and Bishop Tutu were trying to effect in the nation as a whole. She organized small groups, taught trust games, got the prisoners to open up about the details of their horrific childhoods. The year before she began her visits, the prison had recorded 279 acts of violence. The next year, there were two. Joanna's results were so impressive that the BBC sent a camera crew from London to produce two one-hour documentaries on her. Philip Yancey says, "I met Joanna and her husband, who has since joined her in the prison work, at a restaurant on the waterfront of Cape Town. Ever the journalist, I pressed her for specifics on what happened to transform that prison. Her fork stopped on the way to her mouth. She looked up and said, almost without thinking, 'Well, of course, Philip, God was already present in the prison. I just had to make him visible.'" You're not in prison. You're not taking God into the depths of a prison, but you are taking God into the world of darkness that's all around us. Are you making Christ visible in your workplace? You see, as we think of the workplace, do you realize that that is the one place where we spend the most hours of our time? And when I refer to workplace, I think I would like to qualify that by saying it's wherever you spend most of your day. It's not whether you get paid or not, moms. So you get to be in part of this as well. It is there what you would consider the place of work for you. Are you making God visible? His presence is there, right? We say that God is omnipresent. How are we making him visible? He starts out with obey. Remember a couple of Sundays ago I had the definitions up on submit. And submit was the voluntary giving of yourself to someone. Obedience isn't. Obedience is something that you need to do. It's not voluntary. It's something required of you. Obedience to someone who is in authority over you. Obedience to your boss, your supervisor, to your workplace. Obey. Not necessarily a word that we would like to hear so much as adults. If we can get others to obey, that's great. But he's talking here to us as employees. But then he begins to say something, and if you mark up your Bible, I want you to note how many times he uses the words as to or as you would. And noting that it goes all the way back, just as it did in our marriages, just as it did in our families, it goes all the way back to the one whom we are serving. It goes back to Christ, as you would Christ. Obey as you would Christ. You see, when that begins to happen, and I want for us to realize that when Paul said this, he was speaking to people who lived in slavery. Yes, many of them may have had a Christian boss, but you know that most of them probably did not. To them, he still says, obey as you would Christ. And then he begins to bring that, if you remember back again going to submission, that it affects our heart, our inner attitude. It begins within us. He says, as servants of Christ. You know, it's natural if you would have for Christian slaves that they would despise their earthly masters, or that they would have a certain expectation of believing masters. And those of you that are Christians, businessmen or supervisors that have the job of oversight, sometimes it is more difficult to have a fellow Christian working for you than a non-believer, because the fellow Christian has expectations that are greater because you are brothers in Christ. As servants of Christ, if we were to look at servants, it's the same word. Tonight we're going to have deacon commissioning, and this word servants comes from that same Greek word as deacon does. It's serving, it's caring. Jesus said that I came not to be served, but to serve. Now, if you go to work in the morning and you look for opportunities to serve rather than to be served, it's quite a difference, isn't it? It makes a big difference in your attitude and how you will approach your duties for the day. Doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart, because from the heart, when you do it from the heart, then it's easier to do it as to the Lord. Because He is the one who is in your heart. He is the one who we say that we have given our life to. And so here we serve and we do our work and we do it as to the Lord. What happens? When that begins to happen, we begin to take our responsibility totally in a different sense. It's something we take seriously, and we begin to show integrity in the workforce, integrity in our work. And when that begins to happen, then we are not people pleasers. We're not people pleasers. Our boss may be happy with it. He may really enjoy it. She may really enjoy what we are doing. But you know, ultimately, that's not what we're doing. We want the greatest inspector of all to be content with how things happen in my work. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's who I'm pleasing. That's who I'm pleasing. And when I'm doing that, then I will serve, I will work, I will do my job the same way, whether he or she is watching or not. I'll do it the same way. There's integrity going right through. Can you be trusted to do your best even when the boss is not around? Do you work hard? Do you work with enthusiasm? He says, do your work. Starts out by saying, obey. Obey. And then he says, do your work. Do your work how? Do your work as to the Lord. Goes back to the same thing again, doesn't it? Do your work as to the Lord. What if we were to see the name, the signature of our Lord Jesus Christ on each of our paychecks? If we would see Him, His stamp on our paychecks, His stamp on our timesheets, would it make a difference? Do you realize that He's the one? Do your work as to the Lord. You know that if you're doing it as to the Lord, it's much easier to deal with the people who are having a bad day all around you. Right? It's much different to be able to how you serve that. Coming back from Mexico a couple of weeks ago and coming across at Juarez, and you know, the lineup, when we entered, the lineup was well over a kilometer long. Get to the front there, and there's probably at least a dozen gates. And on the way through, there was people cutting each other off, honking, and all kinds of nice stuff as you vie for your your which lane you want to get into. And I said to them, the ones we were in the car with, I said, I can't imagine working for 8 hours as an immigration official dealing with these kind of people. It was 100 degrees. We couldn't have the air conditioner on because the vehicles get hot. So vehicles, there's antifreeze, there's, you know. And where Martha was sitting was right over the muffler, and her seat was so hot she could hardly touch it. But she was still sitting on it. Very literally, the hot seat. And then you come, and these people deal with you, interact with you. And you know, I am sure the gentleman we had was a believer. There's such a sense in how we interacted. But in these contexts, when you deal with people who maybe don't even want to deal with you, but have to, or who are having a bad day, and you do your work as to the Lord, then I want you to have noticed, to have the fragrance of Jesus Christ when you leave that time with me. Why? Because your paycheck, you will receive back from the Lord. That also speaks about contentment, doesn't it? That means that I can be content with my work, my workplace. I can work through these things because it's the Lord who's going to, He's the one who's going to reward, who's going to give me, you could call it a paycheck. But he says, whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord. Selfless service, even when you feel that you are used, that you are not, that you are ignored, that things aren't going right for you in your workplace. If you faithfully serve in unselfish ways, God's going to notice that. Your employer may never notice it. But God will. He's the one that will reward you. And it's interesting, he says, everyone is equal in that, whether slave or free. And again, that same reminder, don't work for man. Don't work for man. Work for the Lord. Employers, masters, this would have had an impact in the Paul of Christ to a much greater degree than what we would notice it in an employer-employee situation, because the master had absolute power. The slave had nowhere to go. The slave was property. And when he says, do the same, what's he talking about? When he says, do the same, as you would to Christ, as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God, as to the Lord. And on it would go. He says, do the same. Their master and yours is the same. Their master and yours is the same. Masters in the time of slavery had the power of life and death. They could put one of their slaves to death and no, they would get no punishment for it. There was no punishment for cruelty, for beatings, imprisonment, for selling them into a harsher environment. And so what does Paul do? Paul reminds them that Jesus Christ is their master, and that Jesus Christ is that what they have, who they are as a master, is actually delegated to them. Their authority is delegated to them by Jesus Christ. You may own a business. You may be a supervisor. You may have people who are responsible to you. That is given to you by the Lord. That's not something that you work your way into. That's a responsibility and a privilege that was given to you by the Lord. You aren't first in command. There's a delegated line of authority Jesus Christ is there. And he says, stop threatening. What kind of a relationship do you have with your workers? What kind of a relationship do you have with those who look to you for guidance, who look to you, who are under your supervision? How do you make them work? Threatening to fire them, lay them off, cut their pay, take away their holidays, they can't go moose hunting. How are you going to do it? Stop threatening, he says. There is no partiality. There's a relationship. There's a relationship, and the relationship is that you have the responsibility of seeing, looking out for the good of those who work under you, for those to whom you are responsible, that they have everything they need so that they can do their work. So that they have everything they need so that they can be healthy in every way, not just physically maybe, and that sometimes is the case too, but in every way. To do good to those who are under them, to treat them fairly, to treat them with respect. Do you treat people as employees or as machines? Sometimes we may find it difficult to continue to see them as employees when there's so much demand to get the product out, to get the service out, and things get so busy. God does not play favorites. Doesn't matter where we are, who we are, He doesn't play favorites. Each one of us, whether we are employers, employees, supervisors, wherever you are, you have the opportunity to make Christ visible. The presence of God is there. Are you making Him visible to those who do not yet see Him? The visibility of God in your workplace is very dependent on you. I know I have said this before, and I'll say it again, that when you are in your workplace, your life matters more than your words do. In your workplace, your life, your attitudes, how you treat people matter more than your words do. You can leave all kinds of tracks. You can have fish symbols on your books, on your vehicles. Those things will not speak as powerfully as your life does. Remember that no matter who you work for and no matter who works for you, the one you ultimately should want to please is your Father in heaven. God didn't save you through our Lord Jesus Christ just so that you could spend eternity with Him. He also saved you so that you could share that good news of what happened to you with others, to take the light of Christ into a dark place. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You say that we are the light of a world, light of the world, and that a city that is on a hillside cannot be hidden. Lord, we know what that does. And when we think that each of us as individuals, as we go about our daily work, Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, Lord, that it is there, that we take this light and we bring it into a dark place. And Lord, for some of us, the places are darker than for others. Some of us may have the privilege of living and working in an atmosphere where there are a lot of believers. But Lord, therefore, pretty well each one of us, we do come into contact with those who do not know you. And I pray that we will make you visible. Lord, if your word, taken into the darkest prison by a single lady, can impact a prison to such an incredible degree in 1 year, then, Father, we as a congregation can have an incredible impact on our community. Bless us, empower us as we go out to make you visible where we work. In Jesus' name, amen.